Our next presentation is troubleshooting MIPI MFI link and protocol issues. Presenting will be J.H. Yang, Senior Sales Engineer at Teledyne LaCroix, and Gordon Getty, our Manager of Technical Marketing, also with Teledyne LaCroix. J.H. is a Senior Sales Engineer here in South Korea. He has 20 years of experience in protocol test tools for high-speed protocols such as PCI Express, USB, SAS, SATA, and MIPI UFS. He also works to promote testing methodologies for future technologies. Gordon Getty is a manager of technical marketing at Teledyne LaCroix. He's worked with high-speed serial technologies for over 15 years, including MIPI DFI and MFI technologies, PCI Express, and NVMe. He has developed numerous test specifications and test procedures for testing PCI Express and other technologies. Gordon's active in the MIPI debug test and UniPro working groups. Let's welcome J.H. and Gordon.
Thank you. Thank you, Roy. (웃음) 네, 방금 소개받은 저는 텔레다인 르크로이에서 프로토콜 솔루션을 담당하고 있는 양주현입니다. 이렇게 만나 뵙게 돼서 반갑습니다. 저희가 준비한 이번 프로젝트 이번 프레젠테이션은 MIPI MIPI 유니프로 UFS 개발자분들을 위한 프레젠테이션입니다. 개발 시 발생하는 문제에 대해서 본다 근본적으로 원인을 대처하고 문제 해결을 위해서 이번 프레젠테이션을 준비하게 되었습니다. 오늘날 MIPI 얼라이언스는 여러 가지 다양한 기술들을 담당하고 있습니다. 하이스피드 접속으로는 MIPI MPI, 그리고 DPI, CPI, 그리고 API가 있고요. 로우스피드 상호 접속으로는 슬림버스, 사운드와이어, 그 다음에 CMOS IO 등 여러 가지 기술들을 보유하고 있습니다. MIPI MPI 프로토콜은 여러 가지 프로토콜을 제공하고 있고요. MIPI 프로토콜은 각 어플리케이션에서 사용되는 인터페이스를 기반으로 사용됩니다. MPI에서 지원되는 프로토콜은 다음과 같습니다. 무선 칩과 통신을 하기 위한 프로토콜로 DGRF가 있고요. 그 다음에 로우 레이턴시 메모리 인터페이스를 위한 LLI 그리고 MIPI UniPro 같은 경우는 여러 가지 또 다양한 어플리케이션을 제공하는데 스토리지 어플리케이션을 위해서 UFS 그리고 디스플레이 시리얼 인터페이스를 위한 DSi-2, 카메라 인터페이스를 위한 CSi-3가 그것입니다. 이러한 서로 다른 기술은 MPI라고 하는 공통된 파일 레이어에서 사양을 공유하고 있습니다. 오늘날 모바일 장치는 시스템에 적용되는 기능의 수가 증가함에 따라 각 기능에 대한 대역폭 또한 증가하는 요구가 직면해 있습니다. 그래서 이런 넓은 대역폭 그리고 적은 핀수 그리고 높은 전력 효율을 제공하는 MIPI 기술은 모바일 장치에 있어서 아주 중요한 기술이라 할 수 있겠습니다. 네, MPI 데이터 레이트에 대해서 좀 말씀드리겠습니다. 메이피 데이터 레이트에는 두 가지가 있습니다. 크게 LS 모드와 HS 모드가 있습니다. LS 모드 같은 경우는 기어 0에서 7까지 그리고 하이스피드 모드에서는 기어 1부터 기어 4까지 제공이 되고 있고요. 모든 모듈, 그러니까 호스트와 디바이스는 기본적으로 LS를, 로우 스피드를 제공해야 합니다. 그리고 HS 모드는 옵션이고요. 그리고 또한 각 기어에 대해서 EMI가 적용되어 있습니다. 그래서 어떤 방해 전파에 대해서 효율적으로 대응하기 위해서 두 가지의 스피드를 제공하고 있습니다. 그래서 저희가 레이트 A와 레이트 B라고 부르고 있습니다. 이 표를 보시면 각 기어가 일시 증가함에 따라 각 레이트 A와 레이트 B에 대해서 스피드가 두 배씩 증가하는 것을 알 수가 있습니다. 현재 하이스피드 기어4가 제일 빠른 속도이고요. 이 하이스피드 기어4가 제일 빠른 속도이고 하이스피드 기어4는 현재 유니프로 1.8, UFS 3.0의 스펙을 제공하고 있습니다. 네, 이상으로 MPI의 기본 특징을 말씀을 드렸고요. 다음 슬라이드에는 MPI 위에 상위 레이어인 유니프로 그리고 UFS 어플리케이션 레이어에 대해서 저희 고든 씨가 말씀을 드리도록 하겠습니다. 오케이. 고든. 노바디. 노바디.
아이 봐다. You mean it? So thank you for coming to the conference today. It's my pleasure to be back in Korea. For the MIPI event here this week in Seoul. Thanks to JH for the introduction there also. So he gave us a brief introduction on MIPI MPHI and up to the gear 4 speed. So I'm going to continue and I'm going to start to talk about UniPro, and then I'm going to give you some techniques on how to debug the MIPI MPHI devices. Now, actually, the techniques I'm going to talk about really apply to any serial technology. So although I'm specifically talking about MPHI here and UFS, the same techniques apply to any other of the serial technologies. I know today there's been a wide range of CSI, DSI, over DPHI, CPHI, and then APHI coming. So you can apply those techniques to the other technologies as well. But this is examples based on MPHI. So MPHI being the physical layer protocol or the definition of how the PHI works. UniPro is another MIPI standard which is defining basically the transport layer. So in the case of UFS, it uses UniPro as a transport for the UFS for the storage protocols on the top. So UniPro is a layered protocol. The PHI layer, the layer one down here is basically defined by the MPHI specification. So the UniPro specification defines all the packet types or frame types for all the other layers. And I'll talk a little bit about each of these layers. So the PHI adapter layer we'll talk quite a bit about, then the data link layer. And then UFS really in this case is the application layer at the top there. So currently we're on UniPro version 1.8. I have 1.61 here, but the latest one is 1.8, which runs over the MPHI 4.0. So going through some of the other layers here for UniPro. Now this is important when it comes to debugging a link. So when you turn on your UniPro device, and then one side can't see the other side, where do we start to debug? So in UniPro, there's a protocol called layer 1.5, and this is really a layer that connects the file layer to the rest of the protocol stack. So the 1.5 layer for MIPI MFI, it automates a significant part of the required steps for the power mode controls. So what you're going to see when it goes through this part of the initialization, it uses something called PACP, packets or frames. So that's PHY adapter control protocol frames. And these are like special packets which are used specifically at this layer to communicate between the PHY and the rest of the stack. So these are multiplexed with the symbol stream received from the upper layers, layer 2 and above, and they have a unique header pattern. So we'll see some examples of what the PACP packets or frames do when the link is being established. And later on, I'll talk about how to debug the link startup sequence, things to look for when things don't work as you would expect. So the difference between power states and power modes. The differences are that an application can set a power mode, but it can't set a power state. So this is where there's an abstraction between the PHY and the upper layers. So an application can get a power mode and get a power state. And these values are values that were set during the process. You'll see on the next slide that I have what it looks like. But you have to be aware of these power states, especially in fast auto or slow auto mode. So that's where in between the bursts, the link is basically idle. There's no filler packets there. So it's going to a sleep state. So when a link establishes after the link startup a sequence in UniPro, the first thing you'll see is the exchange of capabilities. Now this is all going to happen at the low speed, the PWM mode. So what you're going to see, it's probably a little bit small to see here, but you're going to see things like the prepare lengths required for the receiver and the sync length required for each of the high-speed modes. This information has to be exchanged between the two devices to be able to do it properly, the power mode change between the PWM mode and the higher-speed mode. So these capability exchanges are PACP packets, and you'll see when the link gets established that they're sent in both directions. So each end of the link has to exchange these values. These are basically PHY-level values that have to be used. Now, where we've seen issues with this are, what happens if the prepare length is too short? Oh, let's go back. And we try to do a speed change to our power mode change to the higher speed, then it's possible that the receiver can't actually lock to the signal that's coming in quickly enough. So we have a problem with the link coming up, and it may not go to the higher speed mode. So this is a real example we've seen some challenges with in bringing up MFI links with UniPro. So I'll talk a bit more about the link startup sequence later, but this is just to show the capability exchange between the two devices when the link starts. Here's another example of a PACP packet. In this case, it's a PACP power request. So this is where one side of the link is going to be telling the other side, I want to do a power mode change to a higher speed or another speed. Actually, this is also used for entering a hibernate state as well. But if you look at the fields that are part of the power request, we have if scrambling is enabled or not, the high-speed series. So in this case, we have the series B is being requested. So that's the two, the A or B that MFI specifies. No line reset, termination enabled. And then in here, we have fast mode, one lane, and the gear is one. So this would be a power mode change to go from PWM mode to high speed gear 1B. So this is all the information contained within that power request. Okay, so this is something we're going to see once a link reaches finishes the link startup sequence and then wants to do the power mode change. Typically, most devices are going to be high speed devices, so they're going to go through this process. But you would also see this power request if the link was going to the hibernate state, for example. So the other layers in UniPro, which I only have a very short time to talk here today, so we don't have a lot of detail, but I want to get on to the slides for debugging. But just a quick review of the other layers in UniPro. This is not UFS, this is just the UniPro part. So we have layer 2, which is the data link layer, which provides the acknowledge mechanism and provides a way to have a reliable link between the two devices. The network layer is used to allow data to be routed to the proper destination in a networked environment. We don't really see much of this in UFS application, but then the transport layer four allows a packet stream to be established between the two devices to be able to exchange data across the link. So this is called a connection. So this is all managed by the UniPro specification up to this layer. Above that is going to be a different specification, and in this example, we would be using UFS. Okay, which happens to be the next slide. So what is UFS? Universal Flash Storage. It's a JEDEC standard. Actually, JESD220C is the later one. But it's a simple, high-performance mass storage device with a serial interface. It primarily is used in mobile systems. I think somebody mentioned one of the earlier presentations that UFS is one of the main technologies used for the storage in high-end smartphones. So a lot of the newer smartphones are using this as a replacement to eMMC, which doesn't have the same performance characteristics. So MPHY and UniPro make up the interconnect for UFS. So they use that as a transport. UFS itself is defined by the JEDEC organization. It's not defined by MIPI. But UniPro and MPHY are defined by MIPI. UFS is basically architected on a SCSI model. So when we see a UFS capture of a trace of what's happening on a UFS link, we basically see SCSI commands there. And the command layers are basically borrowed from SPC and SBC in the SCSI world. So the UFS architecture looks a bit like this. So we have this device manager here, and then we have the command sets for UFS. Those are basically passed through the UniPro or UFS transport protocol layer through to UniPro and MPHY on the link. So this is taken directly from the UFS specification. So some physical layer requirements for UFS. It's an interface that can support multiple lanes. Each lane's a differential pair. The basic configuration is based on one transmit and one receive lane. It makes sense for UFS because it's a read and write protocol from storage that it would be symmetrical on both sides, unlike something like a camera or a display, which has a one direction data. UFS is basically two directions of data. So the links in UFS must be symmetrical. This slide has a lot of text on it, so I won't go through all of it, but this is just talking about the command set layer that's used for UFS, which is basically the SCSI protocol. I'm going to skip on to the next one. So if you take a capture, like I said, of a UFS link, then you're going to see commands just like these, query, request sense, and then write 16, read 16. These are basically SCSI commands. Underneath this are the UniPro commands. The next slide, this example is a read command. So these are just the individual fields broken out from that read command. This one is for a write command. But things to remember, and this always happens for any of the other serial protocols, so if things are not working, if the performance is bad on the system, for example, do we look at the upper layer first? Probably not. We want to make sure that the link is, in fact, running at the appropriate speed. So if the link is running in PWM gear 1, then we're not going to see anything like the performance we would if it's running in high-speed gear 4. Okay, so we may still see commands passing by, but if you run some performance monitor, then it's going to be obviously much less than you would expect. So that's an example I'm going to talk about in a moment here, in the next section where we're talking about debugging. So often, I'll have a vendor will say, I want to find out what's going on, why does this not work? And they try to make a capture of UFS commands. And the first thing you really want to do is make sure the link is being established properly. Okay. And what that means is identify the layer that's going to, identify the layer of the problem. Are we dealing with an MPHY problem? Are we dealing with a UniPro problem? Or are we dealing with somewhere in software that's on the UFS part, okay? So next thing you want to do is pick the correct tool. By that, I mean, don't try to use an oscilloscope to debug a UFS problem. It's probably not going to help you very much. So, but for an M5 problem, you would want to use an oscilloscope, a low-level tool. Okay. But you want to establish that the physical layer is working properly before you try to do any upper-layer protocol testing. And then once you've done that, analyze the traces or the captures from the oscilloscope or protocol analyzer and find the root cause of the problem. But the key here is identify which layer the problem is happening at. It could also be a power thing, right? So is the link going to hibernate and back, or is it not? Is it staying in a power-hungry mode, so you're consuming a lot more power than you would expect? So these are things to think about. A challenge with M5 devices is they're not like a pluggable device, typically. Now, there's maybe some exceptions, like UFS card, but it's not like USB or PCI Express where you have a connector where you plug it in and you can add an analyzer in the middle. Typically, we're talking about a smartphone, a small device which has a very small circuit board, and the devices are embedded onto that device. So there's nowhere really to get a probe to it, so that makes it quite challenging. Sometimes in your lab, your development systems will have SMA connections on them. So they'll have a chip which goes out to SMA connectors, which you can connect directly to an oscilloscope. Maybe you use a splitter. Maybe you have a solder down probe. But the first thing you have to do is be able to probe the link somehow. And there's going to be different probes that you can use. You could use SMA probes if that's appropriate. I say multi-lead here, or a flying lead probe, which would be a solder down type probe, or maybe some kind of footprint that has been added to the board that would allow you to connect a probe to it. But the key from this slide is check that the electrical layers are working properly before you try to do any of the upper layer. So if things are not working, you don't see the device, it doesn't boot, things like that, you want to check that the electrical part is there valid first. So using the correct tool is obviously very important. So the first thing you would want to try is the signal integrity good? Now, it may be that the device will link properly in low-speed mode, but it doesn't change to the high-speed mode. Or it may be that it goes to high-speed gear 1, but doesn't go to high-speed gear 3. So if the device is physically connected, you may be able to talk to it, but is the signal integrity good enough to get it to one of the higher speeds? Obviously, with gear 4 going up to 11 gigabit, that's a really high speed, and you do want to make sure your signal integrity is good. So you want to check that both ends of the link have compliant signaling. You would do this using an oscilloscope, okay? And then the other questions you can ask, is the link established between the two devices? Is the data rate what you expect? Is it high-speed gear 1 or 2 or 3? In software, can you see the device? So if it's a UFS device, if you can see the storage, then the two devices are physically connected. If they're not physically connected, you'll never have any link on that. So you can verify that part using the protocol analyzer. The point here, use the correct tool. Like I said, you can't use a protocol analyzer to debug physical layer problems. You can't use an oscilloscope to debug UFS problems. That applies to any serial technology. Okay. So which layer is causing the problem, right? So identify the layer. Is that a performance issue that you have? Is that a reliability issue? Are there errors on the link? Does it work or does it not work? That's the key questions you want to ask. And you need to identify, is it happening here? Is it happening here, or is it somewhere else here? Okay. So if you see nothing, so you have your probe soldered onto the link properly, and you're trying to connect to the oscilloscope, or you're trying to connect to the protocol analyzer, and you can't see anything, what would be the next thing you need to try to do? So you want to verify that there is a signal present. So what you would do is take the connection from the probe that goes from the device that you're testing and disconnect it from the protocol analyzer and try connecting it to an oscilloscope. So we can see at least if we have a probe connected here, do we have some signal coming out of that? We can see the analog signal on the oscilloscope. If we see the signal there, is the signal compliant? Is it a good signal? That's what we want to verify next. Okay. If it is a good signal, then we move on and try and find out what else is, why the link is not actually coming up. So another example. So these are two screens that look somewhat similar, but they're actually quite different. This view here is the UFS view. So here I can see SCSI commands going back and forth across the link. But I can also see that they're going at PWM gear 1 here. Okay, and it looks like it changes to high-speed gear 3B here. So at least this part is happening at the low speed, and this is happening at high speed. This view on the left, this is actually part of the link startup sequence for UniPro. Okay, so this part has to happen before anything here can happen. So the next thing I'm going to talk about is the link startup sequence in UniPro. That's a source of many issues me and my colleagues, we've spent a lot of time helping customers to debug why the link doesn't establish properly. And it's quite tricky to do. So what is the link startup sequence in UniPro? So this is the definition of a handshake mechanism, which exchanges information back and forth across the link to establish a communication link between the two devices. So this has to happen before any PSAP or capability transfer can happen. Okay, so that's going to be, this is taken directly from the UniPro specification. So this is the five-stage or five-phase process, which is actually seven on the list here, because we have phase zero and phase 0B. But what you're going to see is you're going to see things called trigger events going back and forth across the link. This is like a link training process. And then this is the state machine that's applied to get that link to the point where it can actually transfer the capabilities at the end. Okay. So if your link is electrically good, but it doesn't start properly, or you don't get the results that you're expecting, you want to check that it actually goes through the process. So the electricals could be good, but the link doesn't establish. So then you want to look at the process. This is just a part of the link startup sequence, but this is what it would look like, is you have the trigger frames, if you like, going through the link startup sequence. And once you get to the end of the link startup sequence, you're going to see something like this. So you'll see the end of the trig UPR2s. And then once you see this capability exchange happening, then you know you've finished the link startup sequence. If you don't see this, then you're never going to be able to do any UFS stuff. Okay. So if a link doesn't come up, I've seen cases where a link gets to this point and then goes through the link startup sequence again. You think, well, why is this happening? So that's an example of something that might happen. Okay. So this part here is the state machine for MFI. As JH mentioned at the beginning of the presentation, there are two operating modes. There's a high-speed mode and the low-speed mode. The burst is a state which is data is transferred, and in between those bursts is what we call a save state. So stall is the save state in the high-speed mode, and sleep is the save state in the low-speed mode. So this is taken directly from the MFI specification. So each of the UniPro bursts are going to be based on the way it's defined in the MFI specification. Something that was added in Gear 4 is something called the adapt state. And this can be something that's challenging when you're trying to debug. So this is basically like an adaptive equalization phase while the link is starting up to go to the high speeds. So this adapt state here didn't exist in the previous generation. So you go in high-speed mode from the stall to prepare, and then we have this adapt state to get the link to be able to adjust itself to get to the state where we have bursts happening, where we can actually transfer data. Okay. So this only applies to gear 4. So we have these power mode changes. Are these happening as expected? Okay, so in Gear 4, obviously, you have to watch for the adapt as well. But if we're getting to the point where we expect it to go at the higher speed, we expect it to go at high speed Gear 3, did it actually get there? So in this case, we saw a power request to go to fast auto mode. Looks like Gear 1, high speed Gear 1 in this case. So did it get there? Did it try to go and then it failed and it went back and did a link startup sequence? That's something you would want to check with a protocol analyzer. I often use the PACP request as a trigger condition when I'm trying to do the debug, because they happen very predictably at the beginning. So if I see a PACP request, it's typically at the end of the link startup sequence. or it's at the point where the link goes to the Hibernate. So I use these, they're very effective way to trigger the protocol analyzer. Once you pass the link startup sequence in UniPro, then the UFS part can initialize. Okay, so then you'll be able to see the UFS or SCSI commands showing up. Underneath each of these are data bursts in UniPro. But when you get to the upper layers, once that data has been decoded, that is going to be the UFS commands. Okay. I could probably talk for much longer on this, but I'm actually right at the end of the time here. So I just wanted to give you some examples on how to debug this. So the main things really are, don't try to do UFS before you've got the UniPro part working. So validate that your electrical is good. The low-level filer, the MFI part of it, that is good. Make sure that you go through and check the link startup sequence work properly. And identify the lower layers problems first, because that you're just going to end up with many problems at the higher layers if the physical layer doesn't work. Could be that it doesn't work at all, or it could be that it doesn't work in the way you would expect. The performance is going to be seriously affected. Okay, so that's pretty much it for the presentation. I have a few minutes now for questions, if you have any questions. And JH, come back up. If you want to ask in Korean, also feel free. So.
네, 이상으로 저희 그 프리젠테이션은 마쳤습니다. 혹시 저희가 발표드린 자료에 대해서 혹시 질문이 있으시면 말씀해 주시면 지금 바로 말씀드릴 수 있을 것 같고요. 아니면 저기 저희 옆에 부스에 또 장비가 전시되어 있습니다. 그래서 혹시 시간 되시면 오시면. 또 실제 장비 동작하는 상태라든가 또 자세한 또 프로토콜 분석 방법에 대해서 말씀드릴 수 있을 것 같습니다. 혹시 저기 질문 혹시 있으십니까?
네. 네. No questions. I'd just like to say thank you very much. And thanks for attending. Hope it was useful for you.
네, 감사합니다. 네. 감사합니다. 네.